Today we are very much looking at practically, what can we practically do to implement all this? We've been getting a lot of biblical principles, worldview principles. We looked at a wide variety of things, everything from economics to education, from crime and punishment to the judiciary, looking all the way down to families and up to governments, and how to apply biblical principles to all areas of life, work for Reformation Revival in Africa. Let me give you 25 steps you can take for Reformation today. If our goal is to reclaim Africa for Christ, what can I practically do? So here are 25 practical steps that you can take. Number one, well, the first category is information. We need to be informed. Information. That's the first I. So the first step is renew your mind by reading through the whole Bible. Can I recommend that you consider reading through the whole Bible? I mean from Genesis through to Revelation. The whole Bible. 66 books. How long will it take you to read through the whole Bible? Do you know we have had bibliothons where people would read a Bible in step in churches, and we've done this also in the middle of Hillbrow back many years ago when you came out the army, and it actually takes about 72 hours to read through the whole Bible non-stop. And I think there were some slow starts here and there, but no more than 3 complete days. That's assuming no sleep. Now, if you want to read through the whole Bible in 1 year, all you have to do is give 10 minutes a day. Read 4 chapters of the Bible a day, and you'll get through the 1,187 chapters in a year. The Bible is not that big. The New Testament is less than the average novel that people consume in short order. If you can take the whole Bible and just break it up to 4 chapters a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in 1 year. Read more books on the Reformation. We need to read biographies. We need to read examples of those who changed the world for Christ. Great people of the faith, you know, the Whitfields and the Wesleys and the Jonathan Edwardses, the Wycliffes, Huss, Luther, Zwingli, David Livingstone, men who made a difference, Mary Slessors, who transformed society. Read more books. Obtain biographies in each of the reformers. There's so many great biographies. Biographies are inspiring. They fuel the fire. And visit our www.reformationsa.org website and related links for Reformation Revival-related subjects. Lots of great materials that you'll get on these different links. Invest in more resources for Reformation, including the CDs, the audio CDs, which generally have got PowerPoints with them. Not the sermons, but if they are the lectures, they'll have PowerPoints attached to them. The ones you've seen that we've given here would be attached to the lectures when you get the CDs, or if there's one already in existence on it. And so the audio and data CDs, you can just listen to it in the car or while you're doing domestic work at home or sorting out the garage, you can have it in the background. Or if you want, put it up on the screen, or even get a video projector and use it in your school, classroom, or home cell group. Study the greatest century of Reformation. If we want a new revival in Reformation our time, we need to look at what God has done in the past, what he did in the 16th century at the birth of the Protestant Church. Request the Reformation exam paper to test your knowledge. Now, we've got all sorts of exam papers. We've got multiple choice, just as you did the Bible exam. We've got a multiple choice Reformation exam paper. If you'd like a blank Reformation or Bible exam or missions exam, Great Commission course exam, any of those, we'll send it to you, and you, Muslim exam, we've got a whole lot, because people don't do what you expect, people do what you inspect. I used to run courses without exams, and after a while I started to find out that actually a lot of what we thought we were communicating, we failed to. And when you do the exams, it not only tests the people, but it tests how effective we were in communicating. So, you know, it's a test for the teacher and for the student, and I think testing your people is very helpful. Subscribe to the Christian Action magazine. Get it regularly. We've given you a whole lot of examples at the back. Please take quantities to make available to others. Also, subscribe to the Joy magazine. And this is a wonderful resource right out there in the average magazine racks in your secular stores. And don't forget, if you've got out and about events, send pictures into them. If you're doing action item related Christian Action activity, send them pictures to Taryn that we can incorporate in action items of the Christian Action magazine, so that we can encourage and inspire one another. The first I was information. Second ask, intercession. Pray for spiritual revival and biblical reformation. Anyone recognize where this is? Remember the event? Anyone who was there, maybe? This is on the grass in front of Union Buildings in Pretoria. And we were having our first National Day of Repentance there. Pray for spiritual revival. Practice Martin Luther's practical program to revive your prayer life. That's in chapter 16 of the Reformation, the Grace Center Reformation book. Martin Luther basically encouraged people to pray in accordance with the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. Structure your prayer life according to the Psalms. Structure your prayer life according to the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, even the catechisms. He taught structuring our prayer around good doctrine, the prayer book and hymn book of the Bible. Remember, the Psalms are the biggest book of the Bible, the middle book of the Bible. It's the hymn book and the prayer book of the church. Incorporate quotes and examples from the greatest century of Reformation in your prayer meetings. The Reformers have a lot to teach us. Restore your devotion life by praying through the Psalms. Now, there's 150 Psalms. That means if you have a psalm a morning, you can go through all the Psalms in 5 months. In 5 months, you can pray through every one of the 150 Psalms. And what a wonderful way to kickstart your devotion life. If you think, I don't know what to pray, start in the Psalms. The Psalms is the guaranteed way to kickstart anyone's prayer life and devotional life. It is revival just waiting to happen. Just as Tim encouraged you to work your way through Proverbs every morning, the 31 chapters of Proverbs, we need wisdom for every day of the month. You could get in the morning, you start with reading a psalm, praying a psalm every morning, and then turn to the book of Proverbs, maybe at lunchtime, before your meal, read a chapter of Proverbs. That's wisdom for the day. And then, of course, you can work through two other chapters of the Bible maybe later on at night so that you get four chapters a day and you'll get through the whole Bible in 1 year. First I, information. Second I, intercession. Third I, involvement. We've got to put feet to our faith. Join the Reformation Society or Africa Christian Action. Get involved in an action group. Attend Reformation Societies and Biblical Worldview Summits. Well, of course, you're doing one of those things right now. Participate in the Great Commission course. Quite a few of you are going to do that right now. Putting feet to your faith, get on the streets, and change lives. Organize Reformation Society or Christian Action Groups or Transformation Teams at your school, your home, or your church. It doesn't take a lot of people to start. Do you know how Frontline Fellowship started? I was in the army, national call-up. I was really not wanting to be there. I'd just been saved shortly before that. I was on fire for the Lord. I wanted to get involved in missions. And here I was stuck in the army for the next 2 years. I was not happy. I was negative about this experience. Then the Lord spoke to me that, am I not in a mission field right now? I'm surrounded by 2,000 men, many of whom plainly are not saved. And is this not a mission field? And I realized this is a training ground. I'm going to get to the mission field, but right now, this is where God's put me, at least a training ground. Well, I didn't realize what a spectacularly great mission field the army was. The first Sunday after the chaplain's period, I stood up and asked the chaplain if I could speak to the group, and he let me in. I stood up and I faced 500 men looking just like me, virtually bald, Sean wearing the same brown uniforms, coughing away. We all seem to have tuberculosis or bronchitis coming on, and something about the 5 o'clock in the morning press-ups and mud puddles and the pouring rain in Grahamstown had something to do with that. And I said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I want to honor him in my next 2 years here. If there's anyone else who'd like to join me for a Bible study and prayer fellowship, please see me afterwards. And that's where Frontline Fellowship began. We began with three of us. Just two others came and joined me at first. But by the end of the first week or two, we'd grown to five. Then six. And by the end of the third month, we were up to 18. By the end of 9 months of our training, we were up to a huge group, something like 28, meeting for Bible study and prayer every night, sometimes having all-night prayer meetings. By the end of our time in the army, we had something like 89, 90 gathering for our last night of worship in the army. I mean, just the Lord did wonderful things. Lives transformed. There are so many from that original prayer fellowship who today are pastors, missionaries, evangelists, youth of the mission, operation mobilization, all over the world today from that prayer fellowship. It doesn't have to be big to start. Christian Action Group, Africa Christian Action started with very, very few of us. I mean, ACA was miniature. but we bankrupted Scope and a whole lot of others there. We were able to get pornography out of 9,600 shops in the country. We were able to mobilize a lot of things, the bankrupting of the Telkom Dial-A-Porn 087 and many other victories. A few people can make a big difference, but we've got to start. Two people is enough to start with. Three would be better, but two you can work with. Promote a Reformation celebration area. At the end of October, you are going to have an opportunity to organize a Reformation celebration to remember the birth of the Protestant Church, and that would be a good beginning. Distribute Christian Action literature and Reformation Society leaflets. We've got so much literature here, and we'll supply you with more. And just in case you didn't know, Frontline Fellowship and Africa Christian Action Policies is, you are welcome to copy any of our materials. You want to copy our DVDs? Fine. You want to copy our books? You want to copy our CDs? You're given permission. We only copyright that people don't change any of it. But if you just want to copy as is, blanket permission is given. You'll see in the front of all of our books, permission to quote from, reproduce is hereby granted. The back of our newsletters, we say, reproduction is encouraged. So you don't have to seek prior permission. This isn't, you know, we'll sue you if you dare to. There's none of that. So if you think, I like this, but I can't afford to buy another 10, copy it. Give it to your friends. We don't mind. We're delighted. Just get the message out. And nobody is going to hold you back from our side if you just want to make copies to distribute to your cell group, your friends, your church, your school. Go ahead. If you don't have the facilities to copy, ask us. And we will print. We've got a risograph machine in our office. It's the fastest, cheapest way of producing mass amounts of literature, A3 size. And that's where you see almost all of our materials fit the A3 size, because that's the size of our risograph. And it's cost-effective, and we'll mass-produce. The biggest expense we have when it comes to literature is postage. Printing is not the cost. It's the postage. So when you leave today, take as much as you can use. We don't want you to leave without Mind Siege, Make a Difference books and newsletters. So if you've got space, if you can carry it, we encourage you to take more of the literature. Distribute literature. 26 lead soldiers of the alphabet. Also, set up a book table in your church. Now, I must say, I'm quite partial to this. I've always been a bookworm. My first job was working for Oxford University Press organizing 26,000 titles in Cape Town. I love books. First job I got at Hospital Christian Fellowship when I joined missions was sort out a library. It was a mess. But I enjoy books. I enjoy organizing books. My first ministry at my church was putting out a book table. Do you know, even when I went to the army, I took with me books. And I put out a book table. Well, it wasn't a table, a book bed, actually. I spread the books on my bed at first, and I was selling books. Now, 1979, the average price of our books was 50 cents, and a hardcover could be 2 rand. I mean, that's where money was. I sold 650 rands worth of books. Now, that represents something in the region of 1,000 books in my time in the army. One person, no bookshop, no place to put out, just as a normal soldier in the army, I sold over 1,000 books in the army, not counting 650 Bibles. But the average New Testament was a rand, and the average full Bible was 2 rand. Full hardcover Bible was 2 rand, and 650 Bibles that most of those I didn't sell. Most of those I bought with my money and gave up at the board and all around the place. But the thing is, one person can do a lot, even with very little resources. Do you know how the biggest mission in the world today, Operation Mobilization, got started and keeps going and is the biggest mission in the world? George Verver's Operation Mobilization is built on books. The Doulos and the Logos ships, book ministry, Send the Light Trust. George Verver requires all his missionaries to get out there and have book tables. And they set up these little card tables in the street, and he started in Spain selling books, selling Bibles. And you can do a lot with literature. So if you want a job and you say, I'm not a public speaker, I can't debate, doesn't matter. The books do it for you. So if you want a job that anyone can do, any of us can distribute literature and sell books or invite people around to show a film. Present Reformation films or PowerPoints to your school or church. We've got a whole lot in our library of Reformation books, some of these and videos. Some of these are on DVD now, and we can make available. You can borrow if you are in Cape Town from our mission. You can buy a lot of these films. Of course, you've seen some of these now. So film ministry is great. I had the opportunity to show films, back when it was 16 millimeter films, have to carry a big 16mm projector and stop every reel, rewind, and get the next reel on and all of that sort of thing. It would be four reels for some films. And we used to show this all over. Almost anywhere you go, if you've got a video projector or a film projector, you can go almost any school, any secular place, show films. That's how I started our mission work. I'd go into Swaziland. I'd get opportunities to show films in mosques, Mormon places, Jehovah's Witness kingdom halls, schools, pagan places, universities. You got good films, you can get almost anywhere, and people often be keen, especially in rural Africa where many people don't have access to as much films as we do. Teach the great essential of Reformation and great essential of missions type materials to your students or congregation. You'll notice at the back of our Great Essential books, we've got study question notes and all of that to help teachers. Discuss the examples of the reformers and missionaries and revival leaders with your children. Rekindle the fires of spiritual zeal by working for Reformation. Like Wycliffe sent out the Lollards, who went out in the highways and byways and sang the gospel in English and preached the gospel in English and handed out tracts in English, which you may think, well, so what? That doesn't sound very revolutionary. Well, at that time, that was very revolutionary. You're only allowed to speak the gospel in Latin in a church if you were ordained, but you most certainly didn't sing in a common vulgar tongue like English. And these were the field workers of the Reformation who started back in the 1300s to lay foundations for a great Reformation that followed. Many of them didn't see the revivals in their time, but the next generations did. First I, information, intercession, involvement. The fourth I, investment. Support groups working for biblical Reformation. Volunteer your time and your talents to a ministry dedicated to changing society. There's so many things you can do to impact the media, on radio, on the streets. We can make a difference, but we need people. We need people who will volunteer their time and talents and treasure in order to impact society. You don't move 30,000 people outside Parliament overnight. This takes a lot of work, a good network, and we need people on the ground who will be able to marshal their cell group, their school, their congregation back to the Bible. That's what we want to do. So you'll get these 25 steps in the Great Essential of Reformation and on our reformationessay.org website and in the CDs. Now, let's take us to practical steps that we can take for Reformation. What can we personally do? Our view, if I'm to revive my personal devotional life, because I won't make an impact in society if I can't make an impact in my own life. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Many of the adverts for this Biblical Worldview Summit, that verse has been there. On the certificates you'll get just now, you have this verse, Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you, that's God, revival comes from God. Will you not revive us? That is what we need. We need revival. Will you not revive us again? God has worked in great power before. That's why we need to study history, the histories of revivals in particular, to know how God has worked in the past, the doctrines he's blessed, the kind of steps of obedience he's blessed, so that God can bless us again. Will you not revive us again that your people, it is those who love God, who are truly born again, who are the objects of revival, that your people may rejoice. That's the result of revival, rejoicing in you. God is the means and he is the end of revival. Schedule time with God in your diary. I don't know who first suggested this to me. Probably was a focus in the family. Maybe it was James Dobson, tape somewhere or message. But I remember early on my Christian walk being encouraged, schedule God in your diary. Just as you would not miss an appointment or a commitment that you've written in your diary to meet with this person or to do such a thing or whatever, this committee meeting or whatever. Why should we not put, in fact, the person who suggested it was saying, put your family in your diary. You know how many businessmen and others or pastors will get to a invitation saying, do you have anything on this date? And he looks and he thinks, just my daughter's birthday or a concert where my son's going to be involved in, or it's just a grading for my son. And he says, no, I don't have anything on that day. And next thing, I'm sorry, children, I couldn't. And so I think it was James Dobson advising, put your family in your diary. And so the first thing I do at the beginning of the year is I put all my children's names in big red letters in my diary on their birth dates. And when I know their concert or their big game or whatever it is, a grading, I'll write that in too. Then if somebody wants to invite me for this church meeting, conference, whatever, on that day, do you have anything? Yes, I do have a commitment that day. I'm not free that day. I mean, why would your family be less important than any other commitment? So put your family in your diary. But now let me say, put God in your diary as well. Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If something or someone is important, you need to schedule time in your diary. If you work on a planner, Americans call them planners, we call them diaries here, put it in your diary, and just as you wouldn't miss an appointment with anyone else, be sure to honor your appointment with God. Whether it's your quiet time, whether it's a camp, seminar, course, whatever it was that's going to revive your life, whether it's this commitment for evangelism or this accountability group, prayer fellowship, whatever's important, put it in your diary. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The Lord's eyes are looking throughout the world and even into this hall this morning, looking for hearts that He can strengthen, hearts that are fully committed to Him. Number two, switch off your cursed, darn, dratted, blasted cell phones in church, during your devotions, and in prayer meetings. No one is more important than God, and nothing is more important than our relationship with Him. The amount of times that you can be, even a prayer meeting, even in a funeral, and cell phones are going off. And it's not that the people are, forgotten, just pressing that off button, staying there. No, they're normally answering. They're talking on the phone before they're even out the door. Sometimes they're talking right there in the church, loudly. This technology wasn't around a few years ago, but now it is, and we need to make rules about it because it's invading every aspect of our life. You cannot have serious worship, prayer, counseling, or any other matter if the blasted, cursed, drawn, dratted cell phones are going to keep invading. Switch it off. It's also irritating when you get, have you ever been in a situation, you're going to some government department, or maybe it's a shop, and a person's on the phone. They're normally talking to their girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, but sometimes they may be talking to another customer. Let's be charitable. Occasionally, it might be a customer. But the whoever's on the phone is far more important than a person who's driven all the way, found parking, and come in there to try and deal with them. And instead of, it's nothing to say, let me call you back, or phone me back in 15 minutes. But no. Whoever's on the phone has got to be more important than the person in front of them, right? Wrong. But that's what's going on all the time. This telephone is a curse, and in Africa it is the worst. I have never seen worse respect for God and churches than since the cell phones came out. Nigeria and Zambia, the cell phones just all the time off. And the people seem to think this is the most important thing there, even in a prayer meeting, as though the person on the cell phone is more important than God. Could you imagine meeting with the president? I've met with a whole lot of different presidents over the years. Can you imagine some, I've got to take this. You wouldn't do that. If you're in a job interview, if you're meeting the bank manager or something, you wouldn't do it. But with God, people do it all the time, and that's wrong. I think we've made a point. What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul? That's Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Third key step to personal revival. Build the Bible into daily routine. Until something's a daily habit, it doesn't really control your lives. Now, we wash daily. We brush our teeth daily. We eat daily. There's all sorts of habits we have in our daily routine. So why don't we put the Bible into our daily routine? These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, morning, noon, and night. So, step four. Make it a principle that the Bible comes before breakfast. When I first got converted, I got involved in Scripture Union, and they were very much setting the Scripture Union daily Bible study program, and I was in the holiday camps and as a youth leader within the first month of being saved. And they had a slogan back then, I hope they still have it now, Bible before breakfast. If you haven't read your Bible, you're not ready for breakfast. Our tummies tell us it's time for breakfast. Well, we should say Bible before breakfast, and then we'll not miss the most important meal of the day. Start your day with wisdom. Read a chapter of Proverbs every morning. The 31 chapters of Proverbs, as we point out, it'll work out to one for every day of the month. Proverbs are an inexhaustible treasury of common sense, insights, and solutions for our daily problems and our challenges. The amount of times the problem we're facing that day is exactly what Proverbs dealt with that morning. And don't think, oh, no, but I read through Proverbs 6 years ago. You need to go through it over and over again. I mean, virtually every month, certainly every year. Proverbs is rich. And as we live further, we find more problems that now the Proverbs we can now understand better. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Number five, can I suggest that you read a psalm before every lunch? The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. If you want to revitalize your prayer life, start reading through the Psalms. We started doing this in our mission maybe 20 years ago, and every lunchtime we work our way through. We've worked through the Psalms many a time, but now we're working our way through other books. We went through most of the New Testament, now we're going through Old Testament prophets, we've done minor prophets. It's just great how much Bible you can cover if you read just a chapter a day, corporately. There are 150 Psalms, you can go through the whole book of Psalms every 5 months, but if you're going to break up the long ones like Psalm 119, let's say 6 months, twice a year. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Number six, another possible idea, how about scripture before supper? Maybe you don't have lunch. Maybe supper's your biggest meal of the day for your family. In our family, it's often the only time we all gather around the same table. So we tend to be regular about meal times. How about ensuring a balanced diet? Feeding our minds and souls as well as our bodies. We should incorporate Bible reading into our meal times, otherwise it could be missed. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Number seven, how about reading through the whole Bible in 1 year? 4 chapters a day, 10, 15 minutes, and we can get through the whole Bible in a year. We're just talking about reading, not studying in that case. All scripture is inspired of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How about tithing a day? I don't know where I got this one, but somewhere along the line, my early Christian walk, I thought, you know, we tithe our money. How about tithing our time? I actually didn't have much money at the time, so it seemed about the only thing I could give. So devote 2.5 hours of every day. You know, you've got 24 hours. So let's say 2.5 hours a day to spiritual exercise, to reading the Bible, to prayer, Christian books, magazines, Christian magazines, worship, outreach. A 2.5 hour a day tithe of your time. Not exactly something that is a law, but I think it's an idea. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We all want to be filled with the Spirit. Let's be filled with the Word of God. Number nine, do a thorough job of repentance and restitution. George Ush emphasized the importance of restitution earlier this week. And I can't emphasize enough. I think doing restitution shows seriousness with God. It's a great testimony to others. And it's a path to freedom and blessing. Do everything you can to restore relationships with estranged brethren. Forgive those who've sinned against you. Right? If you can't speak to the person personally, phone them. If you can't phone them, write a letter. Just clear up those relations. Maybe it's been years since it's been revisited, but just a, you know, I forgive you, or I'm sorry, or whatever's got to be done, or returning. We've had people return books that they borrowed years ago. I remember speaking to Greg Donation of Jivanadi Mission, and him mentioning how the Lord was convicting him about things like having hangers in their cupboards that came from some hotel rooms and returning those. You wouldn't think a hanger is a very significant item, but it's when you're faithful in some of the small matters and you go the second mile, the blessings pour down. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Number 10, invest in renewing your mind. Buy or borrow Christian biographies, missionary books, devotionals, and doctrinal books. As one speaker said, you know, we tend to spend more money on our feet than we do on our brains. Especially women, they spend more money on shoes than on books. We found an interesting point when we've been going to shoe shops to try and get boxes. Because, you know, we've got this Box with Love program for Zimbabwe where we fill them up with food and medicines and good things for the people in Zimbabwe, sugar and salt and soap and tins of meat and a Dettol and all sorts of things that they need, especially the destitute pensioners in Zimbabwe. We're looking for boxes. So we'd go to these shoe shops and ask if they had any shoe box. And they said, lots of ladies' shoe boxes. The men tend to take the shoes or boots home in a box. The ladies always leave the boxes with us. They don't want the husbands to know how many shoes they've bought. So they slip the shoes in. They always leave the boxes at the shop. And you thought, well, that's an interesting insight right there. So there's a lot of shoe boxes there. And when I asked my wife, she said, sure, she always leaves the boxes at the store. So, okay, well, there we go. Something I'd never known before. But let's not spend more money on our feet than we do on our brains. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've read this verse before, haven't you? I think a few other speakers mentioned this one. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 11. Attend the Bible study and prayer meetings of your church. Join or start a Bible study and prayer meeting in your workplace school. If you're not part of a Bible study or prayer group, start one. You only need one other person to start, and it'll grow. Devote yourself to public reading of Scripture. Wherever you are, whether you're in the army or school or university, start a group. It can start very humbly, just getting together in a room and reading the Scriptures and praying together, but it'll grow. 12. Volunteer some of your time to help a local church or a local mission. You cannot believe how much needs to be done, but there's not enough workers. People will be willing to come and help with filing, fixing, cleaning, building, sorting out. There's so many things. Artists. Oh, we all need artists. People who can proofread, people who can type, people who can do computer work. There is no end to the amount of things, from fixing mechanical things. Do you know what Tim was saying earlier, how you might spend 70, 80, even 90% of your time doing what seems to be unspiritual work and missions. This is just so much that you've got to fix and make work in order to be able to get to the spiritual work. But if we had more volunteers who'd come and say, what can I do to help? Wow. You know, you could free up people who are gifted in areas that you're not, because you are able to take that. That's when the whole body works together. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. There's lots of groups nearby you that need help. Make Sunday special. Honor the Lord's Day by avoiding normal work activities, including shopping on Sundays. Ensure that Sundays in your home are truly a day of rest, a day of worship, a day for the family, free from commercial activities and from worldly distractions. If you keep your feet from breaking my Sabbath, if you call a Sabbath a delight, if you honor it, then you'll find your joy in the Lord, we read in Isaiah 58. Number 14, receive evangelistic training like Evangelism Explosion or the Great Commission course and begin the weekly habit of lifestyle evangelism, sharing your faith with those you come into contact with naturally and effectively. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Number 15, expect opposition and criticism. Resolve to neither listen to gossip nor to spread it. Don't go about spreading slander amongst your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. If you get involved in Christian work, people speak behind your back and they'll come and share gossip to you about someone else. That's a quick way. That's the devil's work. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. Don't waste your time. Tell them, have you spoken to so-and-so about this? No, but you know, I'm just sharing this burden for prayer. Well, you're going to talk to him about it first. Number 16, most important, keep focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now, if you say, I don't have time for all this, then dare I set myself up for stoning by suggesting, for those who say they don't have the time for these steps, can I add this highly controversial suggestion, disconnect your TV and stop reading the daily newspapers so obsessively. That'll provide most people a couple of extra hours every day. The average person statistically spends 5 to 6 hours a day watching TV and reading newspapers. The average person spends 16 years of their life, if they live to be 70 something, 74 I think it is. The average person spends 16 years of their life watching TV. So if you'd like to live 16 more years, stop watching TV and you will have so much more time, and you think, wow, I've even got time to visit my grandparents and to evangelize the neighbors and disciple my children. Read that book. Pray. Ha! Huh, incredible. Where did all this come from? Okay, I know it's a very controversial idea. But be very careful in how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And that's a chapter in the Discipleship Handbook. And it's on the Frontline website. Are there any questions, comments, complaints, criticisms? While we do that, can we, Shaw, Tim, Ashley, could you just help handing out the response forms? and you could start to fill out these response forms while we have some questions answered. If you don't have a pen, maybe you can ask, and they'll have some chair. These response forms, let me say, are really important because we want feedback from you. Your feedback, critical, positive, negative, we want it all, will help us make better calls in the future. So please don't just be polite, and don't just, if I can ask people, don't just write under which was the highlight to the best article, don't just say it all. You know, that's not very helpful. There's got to be something that is more helpful than another. So if you can put specifics, that's very helpful. Yes, questions?
Is there any laws against felons in Israel?
Not that I know of. It depends, is it commercial or not? You know, if you're charging, then I'm sure you've got to get permission from the producer. If you're showing in a church hall, there are films that might put a restriction on it, but most wouldn't restrict if you're showing amongst your friends and church, especially Christian hall. We don't put any restrictions on ours, that's for sure. Yes? Yes?
Can I suggest Creation Science Literature as well?
Creation Science Literature, there's some very good ones. Please do know that the books that are out here are an extremely small selection of what's at the Krishnamurti bookshop. There's over 1,000 titles there. The CDs are a very small selection of what's available. Space is the main thing here. So if you are interested more, look at the catalogs on the website or come into the Livingston House bookshop. With any other questions, comments, as we go to respond? Forms, yes.
I just want to talk about ask a question concerning the practicality of 5 and 6, reading before lunchtime and so on.
Yes.
Considering the work schedule.
Of course, not everyone will be able to do that at lunch. We're in a mission, we can do it before lunch. Now, some people, most places will give you a lunch break. You can open up your Bible and be reading songs while you're having your lunch. So it can be as informal as you on your own. But for some families, lunch is the time the whole family comes together, especially on weekends. Other families, they only get together at supper. Some families, breakfast is the best time. So I'm just suggesting, let's take one of those. I'm sure one of those will work for us. And Ashley, do you have the exams there and the certificates? Or? Ah, oh yeah. It's all good. Thank you. Close up this and that. Okay, we're gonna close with a hymn as well. So Tim, you'll help me with dishing out too just now. And then when the response forms are finished, you can bring them to me, and we will then hand out prizes, certificates, all of that sort of thing. Be sure that everyone gets their books. We have a final wrap-up and hymn singing. Yeah.
You've given to each and every one of us, and the opportunity to make decisions. We give you glory for all in the name of Jesus. We want to pray, Lord, that the things we have taken note of, the things you've opened our eyes to, Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we hold on to them. I will not take them lightly. Our failures, Lord, we will address them as we go back. Thank you for the exam that you had. The Bible says, let him that taketh his stand take his mercy for us. Many of us are taking things for granted. You've opened our eyes to see the things we know, the errors we made, the mistakes we make. Lord, I ask them to go back. We'll go to be a picture of the Bible. We'll go back to the Bible. Thank you, Father, for even the ministry that you've given to each and every one of us, the challenges you've given to us, concerning our own community, our work in our community, our work in our local churches. Many of us have made up our mind as to what to do. But the truth is that as we leave this mountaintop, the devil, their position is the only way to make us to take it very lightly, to trivialize it. Our prayer is that, Lord, the burden that you've given to us will remain with us as we leave this mountaintop. And as we go back, we shall be on their line. We shall not be careless. We shall not take things lightly. And you will not release us to be free except to go and put to practice the things you've convicted of, the things you've helped us to make decisions about concerning our work in our ministry, concerning our work in our local churches, concerning our work in our communities. We've made up our mind, we've committed ourselves to pray for reformation in Nigeria, in Africa, in South Africa, that you pray that you do a new thing in Africa. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we will pray. No. The work that has been done with us in this weekend will not be in vain. God, that will be so important to pray that even in the next 1 year, we shall take things, we shall have testimonies of things happening. I'm praying that before each of us, even as what is happening in Zimbabwe, to pray and expect a miracle happening in Zimbabwe before this year runs out. We'll give you glory for all. I'm praying for Johnny Messi for each and every one of us. Some will go by air, some will go by road. We ask for a journey escort for every one of us. We give you glory for all things. For Jesus' name of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise for every single person and family represented here. Thank you, Lord God, for how you have protected us, brought us together, blessed us. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless each one of us on the road. Lord, give us journeying mercies. Protect those who have far to travel. Lord, help with the connections, where there are flights and buses involved. And we pray, Lord, that you protect everyone, that we may go back to our homes and our churches and our communities and make an impact for you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to make us blessings to those around us. Keep us alert to those opportunities put before us. Thank you, Lord God, for every guest speaker who's come here. Thank you, Lord, for those in the kitchen who have worked so hard, and we know that none of them have been paid. They're just volunteers. We thank you, Lord, for everyone across the Ubuntu staff who have given of themselves to help prepare the food this week, and for those who've served in so many different capacities. We know that there's been much that's gone on behind the scenes, and we pray, Lord God, that you'd bless those who have been a blessing to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for your kingdom, for the scriptures, for the freedom we have in you. And we pray, Lord God, that as we go, you would enable us to mightily bless those we come across. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Those who haven't yet received your certificates, please come forward. So Ashley and Tim, so you get them.
Please, Joel.
But that's after they've packed. First thing is lunch.
Yeah, first lunch.
Yeah. And then afterwards, everyone can help with packing and sorting out. Find those who've got a rush off, we understand. Tim and Charles are the ones who know about that. They are the channel people.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're on your way. Get some lunch first, though, I hope.
Yeah, we're going to, but we're going to leave close to you.
We understand that. No, of course you must.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being such an encouragement, such a blessing.
Keep on having fun. I'm halfway through, so I put a little clip on.
Well, why don't you take what you haven't finished with?
Yeah.
So which have you done?
That
part. This part. Then maybe you would be happy to take that. Let me give you a folder for that.
Okay. I've got one there on the other side.
That's okay. I can, there we go. So it's got a folder. Then you just post it into us.
We'll do so.
You.
The one word I circled, I'm not sure of. Because I don't know the
good
stuff,
but
I just circled it.
Am I putting my stuff in your car or after lunch or now?
Yeah, after lunch. No, we're in no rush. Okay. We're going to be amongst the last of you here. I mean, it won't take us long, but still. There's no rush.
Yeah.
Lunch first. Just think of lunch.
Thank you so much for
having done. It's been a joy and
pleasure.
But if you want to just grab something on the way, do.
It'll all come out as we go around the couple past here.
So oh, okay. Great. Did you get like everything that was out there? And
yes, I think so.
Good.
Thanks so much. It's been great. Really,
it's been good to see you guys again here. Nice having you here.
Much. It was really fun.
You've been a joy to everyone. Your youngest son, your daughter, just smiling all the time. They're just a joy to everyone there. They add to the whole atmosphere. You guys are very gifted musically. That's good stuff you gave last night. We'd like to see you at one of our great commission courses.
I say we're going to come next year.
You'd be very welcome.
I actually have started saying that.
And bring your boots.
Yeah.
And we have boots as a symbol for good reason. Really. No, we do it from our mission house. You've seen our mission house. Ron Wash, haven't you? Livingston House. Ron Wash. That's why the max is 20 total.
Yeah.
Because we can't accommodate more than that. but then it means it's more interactive. I mean, this is quite different at this size. You're part of the same kind of interaction. So we have, in many cases, more discussion questions there. Because it's just... It's a more manageable size.
Yeah.
It's a lot more. No, it'll be good. This is just like to get people up and make sure they have a good answer to the devotions or something. Really and truly. No, this PT is pretty good fun. Even if we had a few injuries.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, someone was trying to do a kick, Elaine had to do kicks. Someone kicked and then it fell off.
I do not think that's wise to go.
somebody complained of pixel to press up, set up, you know, all that sort of thing. And so they wanted to try a Tybo to shaft this Tybo thing. But I mean, that's stupid because the press up set up, they build up the muscles. This stuff, you've got to really be somewhat
flexible.
More accidents easier happen with that sort of funny stuff. If we were just doing normal press up set up, star jump, this wouldn't happen.
We did frog jumps.
But I wasn't here at that time. I heard this guy saying this Tybo stuff. He said, "Well, speak to Tim." And Tim unfortunately was sick, so he let him run it, which wasn't Tim. I think we should have just carried on with our normal. But we learned. First and last time we'll be doing that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Travel well.
All right.
Grab whatever. Off the
ground.
Yes.
That's what I put in.
Thank you, Sam.
Well, maybe for first time. For first time.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry? Yes. What, like all of us? But, yes, but that'll include that'll include CLBs. Do I give? Well, I mean, I can. Well, how does this work? But all the same, okay, let me just see here. I mean, the dollars, of course, are separate. Shall I keep some of this CLBs here?
Okay, that's fine.
No.
What you can give me would be fine.
Okay, well, let's look at this.
It's a pleasure. I hope you enjoy your time in the crew.
Do you want to...
And, food on Metro, or the States or something, maybe. I'll find some higher. You guys coming back here? Okay.
Tim is still in denial that he's my brother. He just doesn't want to face it.
And you're long lost Afrikaans twin.
I finally made it. He just doesn't want to. How much was it for?
Well, that's true. By the way, just exactly, make sure you get a good receipt. And can I suggest, secondly, Tertia, have somebody from our staff with you who's got a witness? Have a witness with you, just someone else going to be handing over the money to them. Yes, but have a witness with you too. A witness and a receipt, great, and just a receipt. Don't you? Just have one of our people with you. Now, next thing is, this auntie Hester who wants to leave early and all that. Can we, who wants the refund? You can tell her we'll give a refund to the meeting. At the end of the month, we didn't expect this. Can one not do it a couple of weeks' time? Yeah. But the thing is, we don't have to rush to the because we've got it. Exactly. So there will be a refund minus 20%, but they've just got to wait a week or two. Because the money isn't exactly there now anyway, is it? We've got our commitments right now from what they've done. So what I'm saying is, Tertia, if we've got to wait, Anna-Marie would be the one. We don't want to keep Walton's or KSP or somebody who we owe because of these guys. They'll get the money, but let them wait a week or two. Let's settle our other bills first, right? That's what I'm just suggesting is don't feel that you are obligated to get them sorted out immediately. Okay? Many places would be more complicated than that. We're not going to hold. We're not going to drag our heels. We will get done. It's just this. I want to settle our bills to everyone else. You don't want to have the last people at the end of the line as class people.
But
I'm
Walton to settle.
Sorry?
We don't know Walton to settle. I'm just saying by the
way. I'm glad to know that. That's good.
I'm wanting to just carry on with Sarah from now on.
Sure. Well, just keep. Keep doing that sort of thing. Tim, you do want to have lunch, don't feel we have to pack up everything now.